You're listening to Gotcha, You're It, with Dr. Nothing and Sid Yiddish. Episode 1, Introduction.
So, Sid Yiddish, how did this show come to form?
Well, my lousy track record of trying to find a real date and of getting a bunch of scammers instead.
Yeah, it kind of makes me think that, you know, you're just an ordinary person like a lot of other people in the, you know, in the pond of fish, and you're getting all these fishes from not even the same pond.
Yeah, it's mostly dating apps. The ones texting me, where they'll, example, somebody, the term is called pig butchering, where they will, like, set the trap, like, they'll write you something like, "Hey, Anna, I remember, you remember me? We met at Susie's barbecue about 2 weeks ago. I'd love to get together with you again."
That's interesting. And what did we find out about most of these people as far as their geographical location? Are they usually lying about where they live?
Yeah, they are. The phone numbers don't seem to matter. Yeah, I look up the area codes, mostly New York or California, or some are really odd, like they're in Nebraska or South Dakota, even Minnesota.
Sometimes they say they're some city in the U.S., but you find out that they're not even in the country.
Right, right. And usually, most, especially the ones who text, they're usually actually coming from either Laos or Vietnam or Ghana or some Middle Eastern country in the middle of, you know, outside of the realm of countries, I suppose.
How long have you been noticing this issue?
Issue seems to be a trend. I think
in pandemic, the last, maybe.
I'd say 2 to 3 years, especially with the testing stuff, but mostly the dating apps have been probably like 4 or 5 years, at least.
I'm wondering if it's like a wide problem. I don't think it's just these scammers targeting you.
No, but I'm certainly getting a lot from texting. The ones that text, I get a lot from. But the ones on the dating apps, not so much. You don't know. It's like a needle in a haystack with the dating apps.
Now, do you notice any common red flags, and could you tell me what those might be?
Common red flags. They always ask me, "Do you live alone?" Duh.
Right.
They ask me. Sometimes they'll ask me where I live. Like, in other words, do I live in a house or? You know, they specifically want to know if I live in a house. I'm like, "No, I don't live in a house. I live in a studio." Like, and they're upset that I live in a studio and not a house where they can come in and, you know, like, let's see, mosey around, you know, looking around for stuff.
Well, they haven't gotten that far, have they? You kind of stopped them in their tracks a lot of these times, right?
I do, because a lot of red flags come up usually. Usually, first for me, it's the language and or the syntax, whatever you want to call it. But in the last one, their wording was so backwards. It's like the when my email, when I get a lot of stuff in spam, and the email specifically, they will write it backwards, like they're using Google Translate, and it's all backwards.
Yeah, and the example you mentioned, I was with you then, the grammatical errors were consistent, but ultimately they were saying that they were from here when they were actually from Ghana.
Yeah, but that's because of the that special link that you...
Right, they might be doing a Google Translator, have some kind of interface to it to aid in their scam network. And I do think this is a network because this is ongoing. You're not the only person. So that's kind of like where the idea came from for the show, right?
Right. The idea came was like, I guess I guess in some ways you would call it being sucker punched or being fished, I suppose might be another way, where they claim that they're so innocent and they say the same things all the time. So it becomes a pattern. So they feel shocked when I ask them, why are they asking me, or why are you doing this, or why are you doing that? A lot of times they're also trying to get money from you. You know, it's not just a sugar daddy thing. It's specifically, they're trying to get you involved in these schemes to invest your money in Bitcoin or cryptocurrency or some gold investment or something like that.
Well, with your experience with them asking you stuff, what is your response when they start bringing up cryptocurrency?
Well, I'll tell you. Ding, 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 ding. Red flag. Red flag. And I tell them, well, I've got my own stuff, thanks. Let's talk about something else. But they keep going back to it. And then they tell me that I'm the one resisting and I don't want to talk about it. I said, yeah, there's other things to talk about. I mean, I know what your goal is. And I know what your plan is. Your plan is to try to get my money.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen.
And that's not part of your consent using these dating platforms. You want to actually find somebody that's genuine.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no such thing as genuine out there anymore.
So I'm thinking...
Prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Prove me wrong, please.
Yes. If you get somebody real or you get married and stay married with the person you meet online, we want to hear from you. But also, if you... experience similar stories that you hear on this podcast, we'd also like to interview you too, because this is a growing issue. People that are looking for a life partner, and it would help us to get more feedback on the different cases, so we could draw a better picture of the biggest demographic that gets people scammed. And I think the reason why we do this program is not just to have fun with it, but to have a platform to educate others on the dangers of online dating.
You know, they always say about online dating, safety and numbers, or they've also said that, well, I don't know. For all I know, you could be an axe murderer. Well, you know, that's the assumption. But on the other hand, you, the opposite end of the stick, you could be the axe murderer. You can be the one that I will distrust immediately.
So what are some of the tools we have in our toolbox as far as investigating these entities as scammers? And what has worked so far as confirming these red flags?
Well, asking specific questions to trap and trap them into
basically getting their caught with their foot in the mouth, right?
Right, foot in the mouth.
There's definitely other tools that we've used in the past, especially when they give us pictures.
Yeah.
What are some examples of things that we found out with, doing reverse image searches?
You find often that they're adult film stars. that's a favorite of mine. Adult film stars, models, they're using other people's photographs, because probably in truth they're probably ugly or a different skin color.
Yeah. And another possibility that we discovered today, because sometimes if we don't find that photo it's unique, you know, our first thought is to imply that it's real, but oftentimes those are pictures from their other victim, and that's why they're private.
Right. All right. That's it too. And oftentimes too, that they say they're women, but they could be men. That's a big one. That's a really big
one. No, it's definitely a scheme. And what do they call it when somebody says they're somebody else when they're not?
I don't know.
Is that catfishing or?
Yeah, it's catfishing. I think it's phishing.
Okay.
C-A-I-N.
I've heard the term catfishing. So I'm going to roll the time back a little bit and ask you what experience that you've had when it comes to investigation.
Journalist for about 20 years. And I used a lot of, I used to have to use a lot of other methods outside of before the internet came along and ruined everything. General research, and you would talk to authoritative figures like police and in some cases the FBI. If the story, this case was a big one. And so the first place I would go to is you talk with the family, get some details. And also you would talk to the police, but then the police would often say, well, it's an ongoing investigation. We can't tell you anything. So then I thought, well, okay, to give an example, this one that I did was I talked to the Salvation Army in, forget where it was, in Iowa. They said that he had actually, the person who was missing actually went through their facility. And then I checked, at that time, there were very few homeless shelters at that time. So then you would talk to people like other local police departments, and they would give you an idea of where to check. You'd also talk to, in terms of stats and things, you'd look to see what maybe the local FBI office might have on stats of missing persons. And eventually, the person would be found. And as a result, I did find this guy. And the local police were the city he was from, who refused cooperation. I remember getting a call from that chief of police. Boy, he was human, telling me that I should have stayed out of, stayed out of the whole thing. You know, it was none of my business. And I said, well, if you had cooperated with me to begin with, we wouldn't have this problem.
So you helped an investigation. The police were not happy about that initially.
Yeah, because they were dragging their feet on it.
Dragging their feet or maybe you credit for that. But on your point of view, you were just being an investigative journalist.
Right. There's a lot of other people you talk to along the way. You know, somebody who you talk to friends of theirs, you talk to relatives, you even go and talk to people on the street. And when you show up photos, have you seen them? Sometimes that's like a looking for a needle in a haystack. See, with the internet, you can, I think it's probably much better than the old methods, you know?
Oh, yeah, because people have a track that you can follow. And that's kind of where I come in. I'm more of the IT person, so I set up traps. IP loggers and come up with ideas of investigative questions that would help you verify or validify your gut feeling and red flags that this encounter is not real, that it's a scam.
Right. When we talked about dating earlier, I did a, back in 2017, I did a show with two other co-hosts on WCGO. They'll go nameless at this point right now. But I remember I was going to L.A. and one of them called me up and said, hey, you should do a segment on all your dating stories because you seem to never get anybody. And I said, well, who made the suggestion? And the one co-host said, well, the other co-host did. I said, I'll tell you what, when she starts telling her story, I'll begin to tell mine. It's really painful in many ways to be talking about this kind of thing for me because I really want to find someone, and it's it's difficult to find someone in this day and age because this isn't a bad thing for me, like what I'm about to say. But most of the time you find people who there's something wrong with them mentally. They're not all there. Or they'll put pictures of themselves from 10 years earlier, and then you go and meet them, and they look nothing like that. In fact, they look, 100 pounds more than they could be. Or another one is they can look you up. And I've had many of those where they actually look me up, and then they see my my band, which is, they see my costume, which is the costume I wear. It's at Yiddish, and they see it, and then they do a 360 degree turn, and they're like, well, they're suddenly not interested. The last one I had was the person said they were weird. They claimed they were weird. I said, oh, this is great. Somebody claims they're weird, and I'm a weirdo too. So then when they saw my stuff on YouTube, they saw my band stuff on YouTube, suddenly, oh, we live different lifestyles. We're different. So these are the problems. These are some of the problems I have. That's why it's very hard to find someone that is very, very real, who actually genuinely wants to talk to you, is actually interested in you, finds what you do. You can say different, unique, whatever the word is, but they actually have a genuine interest in you. They understand you. For me, it starts with talking, but I can always tell if something's wrong, either by their syntax or by what they're saying, and they're just glossing over you like you're a tree in the woods.
What are dating sites doing that's good, and what are they doing that's bad, you think? When it comes to
dating sites are letting anybody in now. They can't detect whether they're real or not. They'll say they're from something like a place like North Holstein, Wisconsin, or actually the one in some of them say they're from like Elk Grove Village, or they're by Indianapolis. Lately, I've seen a rash of them from Indianapolis. Asian women
claiming they are.
Elk Grove Village, very interesting because that's right near O'Hare Airport, and they're checking in often from O'Hare because that's what Elk Grove Village is. Because when I asked them, oh, well, are you from Elk Grove? No, oh, no, I'm not. I'm from Dallas, Texas.
Oh, so these might be real people asking for a one night stand, implying that
it's. Yeah, or FWB, Friends with Benefits.
Okay, yeah. I don't know the difference. Well, you got to be friends with them first, right?
Friends with benefits doesn't mean that.
No.
It just means that you're hooking up with somebody.
I'm a literal interpreter, so I take language seriously sometimes.
Or sometimes they say they're from Chicago, far south side, or far southwest side. Well, southwest side would be Midway Airport.
Do you have any scammer highlights this year? Like maybe ones that you just couldn't figure out for a while and you thought things were going, or maybe some sort.
The ones I really knew that I had to watch out for is the ones that are in, claim they're in military units or something like that, or they say they are. And just when you think things are getting good, they suddenly tell you something like, oh, I found this gold stash in this palace that we knocked over, and killed everybody in there, and I can't get it, but I know you can get it. You can take it back through you. And I'm like, if you want to ruin your career, that's fine with me. I'm not doing it.
What did we end up finding out about that person?
They disappeared the next time. I've saved every single email. They would send me, and they would sound really genuine and sincere. And then the moment the gold bar thing, yeah, they'll use fake photos. I mean, I'm still technically on Instagram. I'm following a couple of them still. But the real people, not the fake ones.
What are some of the communication platforms to avoid if these people suggest you get with them on?
WhatsApp is a huge scamming app.
Well, the app is something that they scamming, but they prefer that probably because they could hide under the cover with it.
Well, that and Google Hangout. Google
Hangout's
a big one.
Wow. Okay.
Because that way, you know what their number is. Or if you know, and another highlight. Do you remember the one that was the one who claimed she was from West Virginia, and then she got my number? And then she kept calling me almost every day, every other day, like two or three times a day.
Yeah. And what did we find out about her? If it was even her.
She was based in New York City.
Okay.
And apparently she ran these scams all the time. And she actually admitted to me that she was running a scam.
Oh, wow.
She was trying to get money from me.
Did you get a screenshot of that at the time?
I have it probably on one of my links that I could get and show it.
Because I'm thinking of doing redacted stuff of that. Obviously, we'll redact any personal information. But so people could see on, you know, our future website, you know, examples of some of these.
As I say, I save a lot of these, and I save a lot of these emails just for character study, mostly if I'm, say, I'm writing a character story, and I save all of them. The one I'm thinking of specifically, the soldier.
Yeah.
That one, I remember how real that felt, you know. And then the moment, but in my mind, I was waiting for that other shoe to drop. I was waiting, and boom, it happened.
Yep.
And it was so disappointing.
What are some things that people can look out for when they're on dating apps that you identify as red flags?
Well, if you start talking to somebody, always make sure that you watch their syntax, watch their language, watch their words, especially if they're saying things backwards.
Like Obi Kenobi?
Well, here, I'll read one. Yeah. Let me find it. Okay. So this one, she sent me a photo of herself and a parrot. A green parrot, the background of some photo that I actually thought was a forest until we went and looked in the background of it. And I asked about the photograph, and she claimed that it was the name of an artist in Austin, Texas. I mean, she said she was from Houston, and she told me the name of her company was D.D. Shem Gold Mining Limited. And of course it is. And it doesn't exist. The company doesn't exist. You can't. The most important thing about scams is you have to Google everything or Bing it or DuckDuckGo it.
Yeah, that's for like the basis of search. And I come in to verify things. I look at the, you know, for in this example, I'd be looking up to see if the entity actually isn't registered.
She claimed that her dad had died, passed away, and she was in her dad's place doing paperwork.
And how was that sounding grammatically? Because that was a red flag.
Well, here's one that says, yeah, I asked, and you're in North Holstein, Wisconsin. And they wrote, yes, I was born in North Holstein. I left there when my dad passed away. Oh, wait a minute. You left there when your dad passed away? That doesn't make sense.
No. And what about her grammatical? Can you take a quote out of that verbatim? You know, example of her grammatical deficiencies. I guess you could say.
Oh, here's one, like with the parrot. Okay, she tells me the name of the parrot. The parrot's name is Mama, and I said parrot, and she says yes. And then she says, Mama likes food. And
that,
you know,
that sounds like Obi Kenobi.
Yeah, Mama likes food.
And who did she say she was?
She said that she was Doris Shem.
Okay. I looked that up. There's a similar name registered in public records in the U.S. with that name. Of course, you know, I don't have any access to databases outside of the U.S. So that's kind of why I set up an IP trap for this person. And where did we find out this person was from?
Oh, they were from Ghana, but they said they were from North Holstein, Wisconsin. most of the time when they talk to you, they ask you what you want. I mean, what are you looking for? And when they do that to me, it's like, well, they haven't read the profile. Oh, yeah. What is the profile there for?
Exactly.
It's not there for eye candy.
Right. So a scammer probably has like a list of 10, 20, who knows how many victims on their list at one time. So obviously, if they're doing this as a job, they're not reading all the profiles. And, you know, they're interested in your money or whatever they can get from you, your identity. That's why it's important to expose these things, because there are victims. There are real victims from this type of stuff.
Yeah, there's actually there's a great article in Forbes magazine that somebody sent me last night about pig butchering, which is what I talked about earlier about the texting.
Yeah.
The texting thing. And one guy lost close to $1 million, which is a life savings, which is incredible. That's what they're looking for.
There's a movie that came out called Beekeeper.
Yeah.
Now, it's a violent movie, but I won't necessarily focus on the violent aspect of it. The plot is interesting. And I think people that watch the movie kind of get a better idea of internet safety when it comes to scams.
Yeah.
The plot involves this neighbor in a farm and a beekeeper. And the beekeeper keeps bees, does his thing. And this woman treats the beekeeper like it's her son, and he acknowledges that. What happens is she goes on a laptop that her daughter gave her, and she gets a message on her screen saying, call this number, your computer's been infected. She calls this number, and they get into her computer with her consent because they think they're going in to fix it, and they're not. They grab $2 million she had in savings for a not-for-profit and all this other money. The rest of the movie is like a vigilante type of thing where this dude goes through all these buildings that are doing these call centers, these scammers they are, all across the United States. He burns a building down and goes through these people like confetti, going all the way up to the top. So without spoiling the whole movie, this is like a similar thing, because these people not only get you to a website that scams you, but there's other ways that these scammers operate. And this particular program is going to be focused on scammers on dating apps. You know, there's different methods, but it all goes down to the same thing, you know, extorting money from people with fake stories, you know, why they need the money. And, you know, some people fall for these distant relationships, thinking that they're going to meet this person. They never do. And, you know, a friend, without saying his name, had an experience like this too with the dating app.
And actually, his sister had enlisted me to help. And eventually I would get information from him. He would give me things. I mean, it was to the point where he was actually donating plasma just to, you know, give money to her. He was sending her upwards from $200 to $350 a month. And she had on her, let's just say she had on the list, she had about five guys. So if you could make upwards in a mobile league to $350, what's that? Three times five, $1,500. Just figure out $1,750 a month. She was living in the Philippines with a kid, a young daughter, and he had actually talked about bringing her over here and getting married to her. And we kind of thought, well, wait a sec, he's really gonna want to live in an itty bitty town? And also, I know for a fact that this person does not like children. He doesn't really get along with them, and the way his temper runs.
Short.
Wow.
Yeah, short fuse.
Yeah,
almost no fuse.
Short-tempered. I've seen it. I've been the butt of it many, many, many times.
Yep.
You don't get along with kids. How are you going to deal with I think they might have been 10. So like a 10-year-old. How are you going to deal with a 10-year-old if they say no to you? Or let's say they wreck some of your equipment.
Uh-huh.
Boy, what's going to happen? You're gonna freak.
Demon. Pressure cooker without the lid.
Yep, and it could cause you to do something that you regret immediately.
So let's talk about some ideas for the format of the show. What are some elements you'd like to see in the show?
The idea is to help people, to help them look for what they actually want to find. We'll have to edit.
Go ahead.
This is how I can help you avoid this situation so you don't walk into it again. And we know what the green flags are. But the red flags definitely is the syntax.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big one. But also, what the situation is. Sometimes it can be comedy gold.
That's the fun part of it. But the serious aspect of it is educating the public and maybe even helping the public over the podcast. Walk them through ways to identify the red flags, and if at all possible, confirm the suspicion that they are scammed.
You've been listening to Gotcha, You're It, a new podcast on dating scams, scammers, scammerettes,
and scammerish.
Right. And the ilk, with your host, Dr. Nothing, and Sid Yiddish.